Sometimes you might feel trapped between the right and the left. No one listens when you say taxation is theft.
But there's a place where people know harsh government brings tears. So grab some blue and adrenochrome. Let's make the timeline weird. Friends against government. Friends against government.
Well, thank you for persevering with us. I, for one, appreciate it.
Oh, man, yeah. I can't wait. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. These articles that we have queued up are very exciting. There's one part of the, I think it's the first article, and going back to Taos, that I wanted to just read aloud. Like, it's so insane. I got to pull it up, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'll let you and Bird kind of... guide the discussion, I sure. think, being that it's your show and whatnot. But telling you guys before we started recording, there's a kind of scarlet thread running through all of them, and right. they seem kind of disparate. But
right. Well, Paz, you know the deal. You can basically take the controls, take the wheel at any time. So
that's true. Yeah. I just try not to impose too much of myself on other people's shows.
Speaking of other people's shows, what episode of Gaslight Hour are you guys on?
Gosh, somewhere between 10 and 15.
God damn. Yeah, I'm behind. And then we were having a discussion on Twitter and you were like, listen to the Gaslight Hour. And I was like, I do, but here's the problem is the Gaslight Hour doesn't,
we have regular release time. It just drops randomly whenever we can get our shit together. And that's a big problem we still have.
Well, it's that, and then it's compounded by the fact that my podcatcher doesn't pick it up.
Oh, so, shit.
Like, I don't know why that is, but I just forget, and then I have to, and then I remember, and I go, like, binge listen, so it sounds like it's time for another session.
It's, yeah. It's the Vatican, is well, my suspicions.
That is always my suspicion. The last time I voiced that aloud, I got banned.
The Vatican is trying to keep our boy Paz down. That's what's happening.
Still some of the funniest shit ever. I can't believe one tweet about Jesuits followed up by a tweet about the Vatican Bank 2 minutes later.
Is that right? Within
5 minutes of that, I was locked out.
Jeez.
It's a worldwide conspiracy by the fish hats.
Well, see, the fun part is, as a... practicing traditionalist Protestant, you know, someone who takes their Protestantism seriously.
Trad prot.
Yeah. We view the papacy, not the Pope himself, but the office of the papacy, as the Antichrist.
Uh-huh.
So it creates this perfect milieu.
Right? Yeah, they do.
Like, it just so perfectly seeds with all the other bullshit I constantly have brewed up in my head. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, that's wild. I gotta go get I gotta go get some paper towels or Kleenex.
That's really funny. That's good. How's things, Paz?
You know, I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
Doing pretty well.
Good. You having a drink there? You having what's on the menu today, Paz? What are we getting for dinner?
Well, I don't know about eating dinner, because that sounds horrible, but I'm definitely drinking, so...
You don't know about eating dinner? What do you mean? Are you not hungry?
Well, no, I'm making chili later, but
ooh,
I skipped
that's
lunch,
what I meant.
What
that's
I'm
what
saying.
I meant, yeah.
What are you drinking, Bird? I heard the ice cubes clinking around.
What am I drinking? I'm just having a Modelo.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Just having a smooth Modelo and some, cannabis. I forgot the name of it.
Is that the scarlet thread that runs through all of our podcasts?
It seems to be.
Cannabis.
Is Modelo and cannabis.
Yeah.
A little cannabis.
That's a pretty good flow state combination, though.
Sure. Yeah, that's not bad.
Can we, Bird to can just we
blast onto the scene here?
Can we discuss? I think it's Washington. It's all Washington, right? Where this GOP thing is happening.
If you want to start there, sure.
I have to start there because I read that story. I don't know how I feel about those gentlemen. Like, it's kind of badass.
Well, I think
let's put the facts down right away first, right?
Well, actually, Paz, before we put the facts down, I don't have your quote or your tweet in front of me, but I think
your tweet was very ominous.
It was just very perfect though, because as soon as I read it, I was like, I couldn't have phrased it any better. Like, it was something like, I have so many feelings about this in every which way. Like, I just have to leave it alone. Yeah. Like, publicly. Like,
right.
So, all right. So take us through this.
So this whole shit fire started off because the Democrats nominally control the state, right? They've got like a simple majority in the Senate and the governorship there, right?
In Washington.
Yeah.
Which, if you're not familiar with Washington, almost assuredly comes from the population of Seattle and nowhere else in the state.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
That's how all those Western states are. Like, there's one population center. The rest of the state, you might as well be in Alabama. Like, it's guns and farming.
What mental influence encrypted exists in Seattle other than Biggie?
That's Bigfoot country.
Oh, you think Biggie is responsible for this? Do you think the GOP guys are with Bigfoot right now? Do you think? If you ever needed to go on the lam, that's the guy, right, to talk to.
I happen to believe that Bigfoot is an interdimensional invader.
That's even better.
And the only reason that we should have a standing army is to fight them.
And
that the national parks are quarantines for their incursion zones.
I like that. I like that, the idea that it's them. There's a whole bunch. There's a society of them. There has to be. That's great.
All right. Man. So the Democrats nominally control the state house or representative, you know, branch.
The ledge.
Whatever.
Basically the ledge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ledge and the executive.
The ledge. Okay. Yeah.
And they're trying to push through a reduction in the current cap for their cap and trade system, you know,
trying to
cut down on carbon by screwing the businesses, basically. Sure. And red team being what they are, they're licking the corporate boots trying to defend the higher cap.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, now they can't actually do it with the numbers, so they straight up just fled the legislature so that there couldn't be a large enough quorum to vote on anything.
Wild. Really wild to me.
That's like Rambo filibuster.
Yeah.
Well, the Democrats in Wisconsin did the same thing back when Scott Walker was union busting.
Oh.
They all went and hid down in Chicago.
That's
like, they
right.
just dipped across the state line, and they were literally just being sheltered by the Chicago machine.
Wow. That was like 10 years ago, right?
2011, yeah, so basically 10 or so years ago.
Yeah, I remember that.
So this seems like a weird thing to die on the hill for, almost, but
it is. It really is.
It's like it's so interesting to me. It's just weird that they would die on the hill.
Do you think do you think it was more of a it was more of the opportunity rather than the specific thing? Like, they just had, it was,
I don't know.
You know, it was just the time that they could show that they can make a stand, or
I don't know. Do they go to jail
to continue to get up on my horse here? Let me share my thoughts here with you a little bit.
Yeah. Keep going.
So the one state senator who really kicked off the firestorm himself, he said, send bachelors and send them heavily armed or whatever.
God. Yeah, right. Which was badass. I think the article said that was different about this case from any previous case was that this guy has like militia. Like, what are they? 3%? Like, he's got like 3%.
Well, that's the thing, though.
Oh,
none of these guys ever actually solicited militia aid or protection.
No,
militias started volunteering,
right,
and there's no evidence yet that any of them have accepted it.
Right.
And I think we skipped over a very important part just for the listeners because we know it, but what's happening here is that there is a law that can compel local law enforcement to force the legislators back into the house, right? That's the deal. Like,
yeah,
so
well, specifically
that's why,
sheriffs.
This is right. So this is why the GOP legislators are on the run and not just sitting at home comfortably and saying, no, I don't want to go in. They have to go on the run because technically sheriffs can be compelled to force to go arrest them, basically, and bring them to the
right
to the Senate chamber specifically to force quorum.
Right.
Right. Okay, so then, so yeah.
Which is also kind of badass to me.
Which is wild, yeah.
Well, right, isn't it? I'm in favor of the government being militarized against itself.
Yes, me too. Right, I agree. Yeah. See, that's why I saw that. I was like, that's actually kind of like, yeah, man. If you're in this, you're either on the run or you're doing your job, right?
Well, right. At least they're not limp dick and half measuring.
Yeah, kind of like the idea that there's a government manhunt for a guy in a suit, you know?
Yeah, that is pretty ideal, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But continuing here, the Republicans never actually directly solicited the aid of the militias. It was volunteered. Mm-hmm. And then on the day the vote itself was actually scheduled, the Senate Democrats canceled the session, saying there had been threats of violence against the Senate itself and the Senate building by those militia groups.
Right.
Makes me think, or makes it start to sound to me like it's some sort of psyopy bullshit.
Right.
Like, who's to say the blue team isn't actually marionetting these militia groups? You know, first you associate the militia with the Republicans by leaking information that the Republicans are running to the militias when they're not, and then you blame the militias for wanting to attack the Democrats.
Mm-hmm,
that's when the whole thing started to get even fishier for me.
But. Right. And this is all, like, so basically when you look at something like this, it's like every single component of this system is a cop. And so therefore, you cannot take anybody's word. You cannot assume anything. You just are looking at liars and just trying to figure out who's lying less or who's, you know, what the actual story is. It's like, you can't trust anyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's exactly the thing, Carr. So now that whole thing is just one big clusterfuck now of misinformation.
Right.
The only thing we know for sure is that one of those state senators has a really big dick. And that's the only thing we know for certain.
Yeah, that it's a sizable member. Because
you're talking about the one who is like, "Y'all better come armed, because I'll shoot you myself."
Yeah.
That's a politician I could get behind. To be completely honest with you, one who is like, "I will shoot cops if need be." me is like, well, that's like at least he's He doesn't take shit, right?
Right. That's like the Pikachu like meme.
Yeah, because if that guy's willing to shoot police officers, he's probably not taking any bribes he won't tell us about, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like
Or he's taking all of them.
Right. Like, once you're honest about that, there's no reason to hide the fact that you take money from, I don't know, like some oil company. There's no reason to hide
it. OPEC or some shit.
Yeah, right. Like, I don't know. I don't really care about the whole, well, he's a politician. It's kind of badass.
Yeah, that is pretty badass.
The guy is Jason Borning the government. Come on.
So well, that's a perfect example of taking seriously the idea that he's living free, right?
Right.
He might be a lizard person in a skin suit,
but
he still had the balls to say what a lot of even liberty-minded people don't, like, come and take them, but seriously.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
But for real though, come and take them. I relish the opportunity.
I haven't gotten around to reading Malice's book yet, but it did just arrive. I'm the so interested. Yeah, the new right. I'm so interested in reading it because the militias are something that I don't know anything about, but they're apparently very. They're a lot more common than I would have thought they were. And
oh yeah, dude.
There's early real middle of the country.
I read a really good anthology about the origins of the militia movement back in the early 70s through the 80s.
Yeah, what is the deal with the militia movement? I'll have to see if I can dig it out,
but it's fascinating.
Yeah, we should look into that because just because, man, there's a whole part of this country that people where I live don't even imagine exist.
No, yeah.
Former law enforcement and government agents would go, yeah, we will shoot current cops if we need to, is like...
You're talking about the Oath Keepers.
The Oath Keepers, man.
That's their deal.
That's wild to me.
Dude, Bird, and even for me growing up, like I didn't grow up in a like cosmopolitan area. I grew up, you know, I grew up in North Carolina, but just when you move, if you live not on the coasts, in, you know, in the heartland of America, it is, there is a very different feel to your relationship with your community and your relationship with government. And, you know, it is different.
Right. And, like I imagine in those areas, your community is your family and the government is your enemy. And it sure seems like in New York. Well, listen to me. In New York, at least, it sure seems like the way that people look at the government is their family and the way they look at their neighbor is their enemy. And there's, I don't think you can deny, at least, that in the middle of the country, there's so much more community that would allow for something like this in the first place. That a group of guys,
you have to have it. It's just too rural. Like, you have to have a community that can help each other out.
It's wild to me to think that there's two ends of the spectrum and they both exist in the same country.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
It's wild.
Then I've talked about a million times with you guys on this show. It always comes back to the problem of size, right?
Mm-hmm,
there's so much scale that we can't. The United States has no reason to exist at its current size.
Right? No, it's ridiculous.
At least in Russia, only half of it is actually inhabited.
Right.
You know, nobody's out in Siberia, so they're all packed into one cultural area.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But everything here is heartland, and you can live in most places. And yeah, like, nobody wants to live in Idaho and Wyoming. And so the people who do, they, like you said, they're rural, they gather together, they're close-knit communities, and they don't take shit from anyone. It's really crazy. Yeah. It's wild to me that that exists in the same country.
Yeah, now, it's crazy.
I want to, because usually when you have, like, things like this, you know, groups of white guys coming together and threatening to shoot cops, unfortunately, some of the time, there's some pretty bad characters.
Unsavory characters.
In the group. Yeah. Sure, not very savory folks. What's the Oath Keepers deal? Like, are they racists and what's the deal?
They're actually people who have the Constitution, like, etched not onto their chest, but like directly into their heart.
Okay, good.
And
I still really
LARPing like it's 1776.
Is it cool for me to say that I fuck with these guys? Because they seem pretty cool.
There is a time when I might have, back when I was still active in politics and still being a politics blogger, I might have gone to bat for them.
Sure.
Now that I'm kind of full-time in the conspiracy space, I don't trust fucking any of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
Once upon a time, I would have been down with them.
But they're like Constitution-loving, gun-toting, salt-of-the-earth people.
Yeah, like, what if the 10th Amendment meant something
So
we can shoot the feds and dump them in a mine shaft?
I'm got to tell you, I'm about 90% on board with what I'm hearing. Except for the violence part, but I'm okay pretty much with all of that.
Yeah, none of us would ever endorse direct action, let's be clear.
I don't either. I feel like none of them do either. I guess it's more like, if you come and try and take these guys, we'll shoot you. That's not technically direct.
It's almost definitely a negotiating point, and there's nothing wrong with that.
It is, yeah. Yeah, they seem decent. They seem like decent folk who, I mean, they're just kind of doing what the cops are doing, right? They're just doing the same thing. Aren't they? Right?
Yeah, but without a badge.
We got rules, and we will enforce them. I don't have any problem with people, you know, having their own rules and enforcing them. So, you know, I can't. That's my opinion on that. As a person who has never come in contact with the 3%er, and would like to learn more about your organization, fellas.
The 3%ers and the Oath Keepers are different groups.
Oh, are they? So they have both groups. Then is what you're saying?
Correct. Yeah.
Huh. Man.
Yeah, both groups have offered aid to these Republican state senators.
Mm-hmm. According to
news sources, and you know how much you can trust the fucking news.
Do you think our fans would come to our defense and shoot cops for us if they were coming to try and get us?
I think our fans are arguably already out there shooting cops.
Jesus.
I think they would definitely say
that.
Don't
shoot people, please. Oh, God. That's wild.
You know, there's a lot of big talk until you're in the moment of anything.
Yeah, it's true. Right. Well, I prefer nobody be shooting anybody, so.
No.
I just hope that,
you know, nobody needs to get hurt.
I just do also, it's pretty cool that, like, we live this way, and we're gonna keep living this way. I like that idea. This, like, you know how Michael Malice always talks about that, like there's no negotiation, right? Like, it's, I'm just gonna do my thing and you can go ahead and do yours. I really like that there's just people who live by that mantra and, like, really, you know that they would shoot at you if you tried to tell them what to do.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I appreciate that that's a thing, not because I like the violent part of it, but I do like the fact that there's people who just go, no, I live this way, and you're not gonna tell me not to.
Absolutely.
Let's 1775. I like that. That's a good.
Yeah.
We'll go back to 1775 when there was, you know, it was a little more rebellious. Once the independence movement came around, they sold out. That's what I think.
That's Patrick Henry and the Farmstead Anarchy of the Virginia Territory and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
So there's your militia news of the month, hopefully, unless there's more developing on this story. Where do you think this goes? Do you actually think there's going to be like a Bundy-type stand-down thing?
You know, I personally, I won't speak for Carr, but I am not ready to offer commentary on that. Because as we said before, there's just no way to know what news here you can trust.
Yeah.
And especially after that bit about the death threats came out, I instantly stopped believing that the militia were actually in league with the Republicans. Like I said, it just started reeking of a psyop.
Right.
Me.
Okay.
I would say that I'm probably 90% in agreement with you. I think this is the type of news story that the properites in Seattle would be terrified to keep in the news and look like this in front of the entire country, because, you know, they're because of the image. And I think this is one of those that just goes away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That said, we'll see. Some wild shit absolutely could happen here.
Yeah. Oh, dude. And I would like nothing more than, I don't want anybody getting hurt, but I would like nothing more than a, you know, big gun standoff, like, you know, like Bundy.
I would like nothing more than for people to point guns at one another because of the implication.
Because of the implication.
You keep saying
Have you guys seen the movie Red State?
No.
No.
What's that?
Well, you should definitely go watch that. But it's like, so the idea is, it's almost, when I saw it and every time I've seen it, I've always viewed it as a commentary on Waco.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's about this super, super fucked up church in the middle of nowhere, right? This sort of culty the evangelical sheen on it sort of group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the ATF trying to shut them down. But it ends in this massive standoff at their compound before a dipshit deputy goes and starts firing, and they get wiped the fuck out.
Oh my god! Who's they? The church or the cops?
That the cultish group.
Oh,
and then it's finally revealed, obviously, that they were in fact bad guys. But the idea that it's just the feds rolling up on this church and engaging in an armed standoff is something else. It's a great little suspense flick, I think is the right genre to put it in, and you guys should check it out. But
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think it's interesting, man. I think anything, you know, we talk about this all the time, where anything where the mask slips a little bit and you see what things really are, and these standoffs really help to illuminate that. And I mean, again, it's like you're weighing, you know, as voluntarists, where, you know, you're weighing, you don't want anybody to get hurt. But on the other hand, a great way for people not to get hurt is for a lot of people to kind of come around to the fact that there's a mafia in charge that's hurting a lot of people. So, it's fascinating stuff. And I mean, all politics aside and all everything aside, like with the knowledge that I can't do anything about it one way or the other, it's just going to be fascinating to watch.
Absolutely.
So. I don't know. I guess there's probably not a whole lot more there. Should we pivot to the next thing?
I think we should pivot to the juicy stuff. Yes, I think we should. Yeah. Is this like a conspiracy court?
I think this.
Yeah,
it's like a
conspiracy. However you guys want to say it, if you want to call it the return of conspiracy court,
conspiracy litigation.
Oh, geez, but
yeah, maybe like a conspiracy.
deposition, maybe?
Yeah, or what do you do when you go to a divorce attorney? You don't want to go through the courts, like
mitigation, conspiracy mitigation.
A mitigation. Yeah, all right. Maybe we have a conspiracy mitigation today. Shout out to Liberty Weekly, by the way. Let's see here. Pause. Do you want to just start us off? Or I guess we don't have a judge here. So, yeah, I guess, pause, you present the evidence, I suppose. What do we have today?
Well, you see, Bird, you might have claimed we were done with militia news.
Yeah.
But we are, in fact, not, because that's the whole-ass theme here.
Whoa! Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We are... going back to what's the name of the town car? Laos? Taos?
Taos. T-A-O-S.
Taos, New Mexico. Last year.
Going back to Laos.
When the supposed... yeah. When the terrorist camp got busted, right?
Yep. And we had you on to talk about it, and I think we even did a little mid-year update. I'm not sure if you were... I don't know if it was one of your episodes where we touched on it or another one, but...
we talked about it the first time on Milk Smugglers.
Yep, that's right.
My favorite episode ever.
That's a great one.
And then I think you guys did talk about it just a couple weeks ago in passing.
Yeah, yeah. So for anybody who didn't, I highly recommend everybody go back and listen to Milk Smugglers because it's just it was just one of those classic episodes in my opinion. But to give people a, Jesus, man, these allergies, Christ. To give people a background of what happened here, I'll just give an overview. It came out into the news in probably last August that... there was a really bizarre chain of events and really bizarre relationship between the local sheriff, the feds, and these people that were in a compound. The compound was an RV with a tunnel dug under it, and it was walled off by just junk, old tires and just appliances and junk. So they basically built some kind of I don't know, to even call it a fortified compound, your typical collapsitarian would laugh. It wasn't well done or anything, but it was a compound, it looked like. And there were complaints or I don't remember exactly why the sheriff showed up, but the sheriff showed up and they found basically a bunch of dudes and kids living in absolute squalor in this RV that was parked over a tunnel. And they eventually went down into the tunnel and found the remains of a 3-year-old kid.
Right.
And they also found a bunch of documentation, a bunch of rifles and stuff like that, that they were using to shoot and train to shoot and probably teaching the kids to train to shoot. And this has a lot of conflicting storylines because, our ilk tend to, we want to teach our kids to shoot. We want to stockpile rifles, this and that. But it was very bizarre circumstances, not to mention that they were Muslim. So there is... there is some interesting.
I like how you said. I like how you here. Said Muslim. Well, they're Muslim. He's just. I want to get this out.
yeah. Here it is. And
that was.
And so. The cops started to investigate, but I think they basically got shut down by the feds. Mm-hmm. And is that more or less what happened?
Yes.
That's what I recall. So I guess we're at the same page.
After the adults were arrested. They were eventually released pre-trial.
Right.
One of them was deported. I think two of them have now since then been charged. And I don't, for the life of me, know what happened to the other two. But the dead kid they found was supposedly possessed.
Right.
And died during the course of an exorcism.
Right. And it turns out that the kid was probably likely just
schizo or something.
Yeah, or some sort of mental, whatever. I don't care to get into it. But let me. So this kid was the subject of an exorcism and died as a result of it. So far as we know. But let me read the first paragraph or the first sentence of this article that Paz you sent over. A 3-year-old boy was found dead after the camp was raided last year, and now 5 adults are facing terror-related charges. And I think that is a great way to sum up exactly what's going on here, where the local sheriff was not allowed to, or I don't know if he wasn't allowed to, but got shut down on the prosecution of, murdering a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now facing terror-related charges, which is a federal crime, I assume. So it's just this weird thing. Where?
Well, and if I can make it even weirder here, please. I hope people remember this, but if they don't, the feds also bulldozed something like 60-70% of the crime scene.
That's right. Yeah, they did. They did.
Yeah, what was... why? What is that?
Why indeed, Bird? Why indeed?
Remember that red ribbon.
It's so weird. It's like, that's a crime site. Why are you demolishing it? You need to investigate it. How long were the investigations going on before they bulldozed it? It seemed like not long.
Oh, yeah,
it
days.
Wasn't days, long, right, Carr? It was days. That happened like a week or two later.
That is... You could go one of two ways with it, right? There's something wrong with it, or there's something understandable about it, right? So either something wrong, or they demolished the site so that, you know, spectators couldn't go in and, I don't know, find other evidence of ISIS activity because they don't want that getting out, I guess. Or,
well,
or it's much more fucking malicious.
Yes.
And since we're on this podcast, we're not allowed to talk about the less malicious ones. So,
well,
what could the negative be?
Now that said, I'm not sure we should even consider the less malicious as plausible.
I know, no, Roz, that's your maxim. That's almost.
Well, I think I think that's legitimate. I don't think it is.
Look at the track record of our fucking government and tell me we should assume the less malicious option.
I guess you shouldn't. You're right.
Imagine if I got murdered in my home today, right, and then the Fed showed up and bulldozed my house. You would not automatically assume the less malicious. You'd
I
be like,
certainly
what the
would
fuck
not.
Just happened?
And especially not for you, Carr. I'd be a little annoyed.
Peeved.
I'd be a little annoyed because I feel like for the rest of my life, I'd be having to like speak for organizations talking about how the Fed bulldozes crime scenes. like that would become my purpose in life.
If you could end up being our generation's Ted Gunderson, that'd be fantastic.
I become a public advocate against the Fed bulldozing crime scenes. My buddy, they bulldozers, they killed him. Which politician do you think would kill you, Carr, before we continue? Like, which one? Who's needs to bulldoze you?
Man, I don't know. I feel like Ted Cruz and I are on a collision course.
You've been a little merciless with the guy.
Yeah, I have, and he's local. So yeah, I just feel like
right,
you know,
it could be.
It's going to be somebody.
And for Paz, it's almost probably every politician.
Yeah.
And the Vatican.
So if I had to pick one, why not U.S. Ambassador to the Vatican, Callista Gingrich?
I like how you know. Oh, that's right. Callista Gingrich. That's right.
That is her name, right,
Callista? I don't know why I know that name, but I do. All right. Well, good. I guess we're done here. Let's bulldoze over this topic. No, I'm kidding. All right, they bulldozed it.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
We did an episode on that, like you said. So
that was the original, and that's how I remember that it was so quick. I mean, they bulldozed it because what happened? I think what happened was the cops found it, then went back, you know, whatever for the day, and then the next day they went back and it had been bulldozed or something like that. And they were like, what the fuck? And feds were not letting them on the crime scene. I think that's the long and short of what happened, is that they didn't even almost alert the feds to it or something.
It happened pretty suddenly. That's for certain. I don't know about that. I know the local cops or whatever unit was investigating it, whether it's the sheriff or the local PD or whatever, there was a point where they just weren't allowed on the scene.
Exactly.
And it was after that it got bulldozed. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Yep. So that's kind of where it's left. And just to reiterate the point, I think if you're just looking straight up at what is most plausible here, you almost have to assume something fishy, because this is not how things should operate. I mean, even under the current paradigm that we, you know, all disagree with, this seems way out of procedure.
Right.
So, moving on from New Mexico, do you gentlemen want to go chronologically across the timeline in order of events, or from data point to data point?
If you have the timeline, I think that would sketch something really good out.
Well, it was not so long after that whole thing happened. You gentlemen might remember hearing very briefly in the news about a veterans advocacy group in Arizona.
Right.
That claims they found a cartel child trafficking site. Mm-hmm. You guys remember that?
Vaguely. But yeah. I didn't do... Yeah, just treat us like we have.
I think you maybe have even talked to us about that. But yeah, vaguely.
Hmm. It's possible. I don't know if it was on the show here or not. Hmm. But basically what happened is this group of veterans, or they call themselves veterans, some of their status is in dispute, including their leaders, operated this supposed charity or alleged charity in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for homeless veterans that they could help, you know, get them in a shelter, get them off the street.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they have this habit of walking around armed.
Yep.
They found a half-buried septic tank that looked like people had been living in it.
Mm-hmm.
They found loads of makeup, a bunch of child's toys,
mm-hmm.
and a restraint system attached to a nearby tree. Jesus. That was at the right height level for children. Now, they immediately turned that over to the police, and that's where that whole story got way out of control real fast.
I don't remember any of this, so cover this in detail.
The cops claimed that it was all nothing, that they were insane and fear-mongering and all this other crap, and basically
Which
shut
unfortunately
down the investigation.
Is an easy claim to make, unfortunately. I mean,
absolutely. And honestly, that part of it might even be reasonable.
Right,
we don't know a whole lot about these guys or their motivations.
Mm. Yeah.
But they continued to make a stink about it, claiming that the local PD was covering up an investigation, that they found something real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now their leader... I linked some information about that organization's leader to you guys there in the articles, too.
Yeah, and you know what? What I'll do is I'll put every single article that you linked in the description so that people can kind of follow along with us.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, this dude is... he might very well be a nutcase himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a long history of some pretty wild activism, including having been at the Bundy standoff.
Oh, really?
Wild.
Oh, my God.
Wild activism.
Okay, all right.
That guy's an op. I'm going to call it now. That guy's an op.
You think?
Yeah. I think he certainly could be.
Yeah, I think you don't go to...
I think we shouldn't rule it out.
I think if you go to events like that for fun and the government hasn't gotten you already, I feel like you might be an op, personally.
Well, that's the thing, though. Now, after this... deal of his in Tucson.
Ooh, listen to this car. Here it is.
That's when he got arrested.
Yes.
And he got arrested on disorderly conduct and a bunch of other Trump-up bullshit.
Easy.
Right.
Easy charges.
Like he was getting jacked around by the local PD.
Yeah, right. Bullied, tax evasion charges and shit. Yeah.
And now his story's basically over. I couldn't find anything about what he's up to these days or if he ended up in jail or what.
Well, shout out to that guy. But, what was his name again?
Let me pull it up here. His name was... he goes by Lewis Arthur. His full name is Michael Lewis Arthur Meyer.
Oh, okay. Well, shout out to that guy because that I wonder what happened.
Yeah, so... That's all pretty weird, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Weird. Oh, absolutely. It's a little weird.
Children being kept, abused, and supposedly trained to be school shooters in New Mexico.
Right.
Weeks or months later, a veterans group claims to have found another similar site. Dude gets jacked around and arrested.
Yep.
And that's the end of him.
Right.
Now, to continue advancing the timeline,
Can we just place... so in New Mexico was the first incident with the 3-year-old kid found dead.
Mm-hmm.
Where was this Arizona, you say?
Yep. So right
Tucson,
next to it.
Yeah.
So more like something's brewing in the south, rather than like this all happened in that one area of New Mexico.
Where was Bundy?
Bundy was in the Northwest. It was like Idaho, Nevada,
there.
Yeah, Nevada. I mean, if it was Nevada, then I don't know. Something could be going on. Yeah, so continue, Paz. Sorry.
Well, the next piece of evidence comes from Pat Robertson's homies at the Christian Broadcasting Network.
Shout out to the Christian Broadcasting Network.
I don't know who that is.
Well, as a Quaker, you need to really be paying attention to this stuff now.
let's be very brief with this, but it's basically a TV network that caters to a lot of televangelist stuff.
Okay.
But Pat Robertson, the guy who set it up, is a pretty interesting fellow in and of himself. And I'm going to give you just a real quick history lesson here.
Yeah.
But diamonds and precious gemstones are the primary export and resource of Zaire in Africa.
Yep.
Now, that was originally a Belgian colony. It was occupied by the Nazis. And then it was Belgian again. And that was part of the whole Belgians in the Congo controversy. Right? Though it's not the Congo proper, obviously. Now, so we've got Nazis there. We've got American business interests. We've got the fucking Belgians. And then Pat Robertson in the late 80s and the 90s shows up there claiming to be bringing humanitarian aid when really it was a front for him to get into the diamond business there.
God, and the diamond business is already just so rife with, it's just ridiculous.
So this is his organization talking about this now. And I'm just pointing out, he's a pretty interesting figure in and of himself.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
Now, this article that I linked to you guys is them talking about, or one of their reporters talking about, how according to a former CIA operative, there's been at least 22 confirmed jihadi training camps here in the U.S. So this organization, which already has kind of a semi-seedy past, depending on who you want to talk to, is collaborating with the spooks to push propaganda about Islamist camps here in the U.S.
Jeez.
And all of this in and around the aftermath of this other stuff we're talking about.
Right.
Man.
I'm sorry. Like I told Carr, my headphones are a little jacked up right now.
Oh, that's okay. That's... I don't know, Carr, what do you think? Where are we going with this? Like, what do you think?
I don't know. It's just so many.
It's weird, right? We always find these stories that are just a bunch of things that are weird together.
Yeah, have you ever seen Burn After Reading?
No. What is Burn After Reading?
Really? You've seen that, right?
I don't think I have, actually.
Oh man, it's a great. It's Coen Brothers. It's got Brad Pitt, Malkovich, George Clooney. It's a really, really fantastic movie, in my opinion. Francis McDormand. And it's basically like a Washington, D.C. like love triangles and a weird murder. But the CIA is involved like somehow, you know, and at the end, like the CIA.
Is that based on historical events?
What's that?
Is that based on historical events?
No, I don't think so. No, it's just.
Well, are you sure?
Well, yeah, right. Maybe I don't.
Well, I'm not even memeing there because I just finished a book by Peter Lavenda talking about some really weird stuff involving disappearing journals after suspicious deaths. But
oh, it could be, but it's got the vibe. Like the storyline is generic enough where it wouldn't be. I don't think it would be
a specific event. Then
yeah. I mean, it could. I don't know. Anyway, recommended watch. It's a really fun movie, especially if you like the Coen Brothers. But there's like a scene at the end where one of the CIA guys is like trying to put everything together, but it's like, it's so absurd, like the actual storyline, that it's like almost impossible to put together. And he's just like, well, I mean, you know, it just kind of like closes the book and just says, well, if we hear anything more, we'll pursue it. And you know, it's just, you know, it's a funny look into trying to like dissect every single little.
Trying to follow the scarlet thread of history.
Exactly. Anyway. So we've got, just in summary, we've got possible child training camps, child smuggling popping up in the American Southwest. We've got ties to militia activity in the Pacific Northwest. And then we've got Pat Robertson, who has ties to the diamond mines. We have brought Nazis into the picture. American business.
Very marginally, I'd like to say that's more of a footnote.
But, yeah, right.
Still relevant between Operation Paperclip and the CIA.
Yeah. And so what is your first blush take on exactly how Pat Robertson fits into this?
Well, Pat's basically out of play, and if I'm not mistaken, he might even actually be deceased at this point.
Okay.
I'm talking about him more as his organization.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's not deceased, but he's old as dirt.
Okay, so he's probably not super active, but so what are your thoughts on them peddling the jihadi camps?
You're fishing here, Judge.
Yeah, I need it.
Fishing.
Well, he can fish as much as he wants, because who knows if there's not a connection.
Oh, right.
We know that the CIA is explicitly barred from operating under the U.S. soil, or on U.S.
That's
soil.
Right. Yeah, right. That's right.
We know that they do it anyways.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And now this, the Christian Broadcasting Network, like I said, is getting leaks from a supposedly ex-spook that there's at least 22 jihadi camps like that here in the U.S.
Yeah. Huh. God.
Now, if I can move along here, too, keep the information flowing.
Yeah, please.
That brings us to Alabama just a couple months ago.
And I remember this, yeah.
Where they found yet another squalor compound, as you put it earlier, with more children, what looked like a makeshift obstacle course, and more supposed jihadis. Now, what gets really interesting there is that the vehicles that were found at that site all had Georgia license plates.
Jeez.
Now, do you want me to really blow your mind here?
Yeah, I do, badly.
If we can go back to New Mexico, the child that died there had been kidnapped from Georgia.
From Georgia. I remember that. Holy shit.
So now that's all fairly circumstantial.
It is.
Like I said, when we're chasing this scarlet thread.
Right.
With missing children from Georgia.
God.
And jihadis.
Like, see, here's the thing is that as bizarre as all of what we're talking about sounds to the average normie, something is going on here. And you have to remember that. Like, something's fucking going on here. You don't just train kids out in the fucking desert away from your homeland to do shit. I mean, it's just not something it's not a normal operation.
Even the most religiously devout Sufi millenarian warriors wouldn't do that kind of shit, right?
It's just bizarre. And you start seeing it popping up, and man, I don't know what it is, but like you said, there is some sort of thread that connects things from time to time, and something is afoot. I don't know, man. That freaks me out.
And now this whole Alabama thing got shut down pretty freaking quick, too. I don't think I've even heard any other news about this one.
Yeah, I haven't gone looking explicitly for it, but
Looking explicitly for it, and I just couldn't find anything. It's not being talked about, this one.
All right. You know what we need to do? Need to start to...
You know, Carr, normally when you say that, I'm like, but we're talking about, like, jihadis here, dude.
No, I'm saying we should start developing relationships with local reporters in some of these towns. And see if we can just, like, shake down some information.
Fuck yeah. Actually, I'm into that.
Well, look, if I can throw just one plug here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
On my Twitter page, I have a link to my PayPal. And now, nominally, it's for cryptid research. But I'll tell you what. If you people, which is to say the listeners or anyone, feels generous and they have money to throw away, I will go and chase this shit.
That's a offer that's tough to refuse.
Yeah, feel under no compunction to do it. I'm not in the business of telling anyone what to do with their bread. But I'm just saying, like, life goal, I would love to get a taste of some real fucking adventure.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't care what the consequences are of finding out the truth. You know?
Yeah. I mean, seriously, though, like, do you think that would be... I'm just wondering if the local beat reporter in Taos, New Mexico, some, you know, up and coming buck that's looking to break stories, are they getting any more information than we're getting? I mean, I assume slightly more, but I mean, is it enough? You know?
That's a great question, Karn. I can't answer it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, do people in town, like, there's rumors, right? There's always rumors in town. Yeah, and people know people, and it's like, these guys had, theoretically, well, I don't know, maybe I'm overstepping bounds here, but theoretically, these guys have to go into town for food or for water, or, I mean, maybe, you know, somebody's supplying them, I guess, but I don't know. It's just like, it's
Is the CIA supplying them?
Well, I don't know. That's kind of what I was winking and nodding at, but I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that somebody doesn't know something. You know, I mean,
I absolutely agree, Carr.
Yeah, God, and who knows who it is? I mean, I'm not saying specifically like John Doe, but I'm just saying, who is it? Like, is it reporters? Is it the grocery store clerks? Like, is it, you know? What class of people are coming into contact with these people or the information about them most frequently? And I don't know the answer to that. God, it's creepy as hell. I mean, it really is.
And now, I do not want to understate the militia connection that's running through all of this too.
Yeah, let's shift over to
this. Mr. Meyer. Might smell like an op.
Yeah.
But he wasn't getting fucked around by the police until he claims he found something.
Right. Right.
So, what I'm wondering...
We got a little crumply. Hold on. Pause. We got the tiny crumple. Okay, we're back.
It's better now. I thought somebody was unwrapping.
Oh! No, that was totally me. I was actually just about to light another hookah coal.
Oh, yeah. You're doing the hookah thing now. That's right, because you work at a hookah place. Oh, man. We haven't caught up with Paz. We got to catch up with Paz soon. Once we're done talking about rape dungeons and...
Yeah.
You know, the things that we pay Paz for.
Yeah.
All right, so we got our third one. Or this is the third one, right?
Yeah, and this is kind of the final step in the trail, as I explicitly pointed out in the articles.
Right.
But now comes the part for unhinged speculation, where everything goes off the rails. Mm-hmm. So,
oh boy.
We have jihadi groups that could potentially be trafficking children, either from Georgia or across the Mexican border. We have them training these children to some ends known only to them, but claimed by our government to be terror operatives in training. We have a militia group that claims to have busted or discovered one of their sites and got shut down. And we have the government of Oregon going into exile.
Right.
And the militia up there being framed up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what the fuck, gentlemen? You tell me. Yeah.
So it sounds to me. Well, I mean, one possibility.
You know what? Let me throw one more thing in here too. See if that changes the thinking just at all. I made a point of pointing out that Meyer was involved with the Bundy shit.
Right.
Yes, you did.
When we were talking about Oregon, it should be noted that it was not just Oregon militia groups that were offering to help them, but also groups in both Idaho and Nevada.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Well, it was Washington, though, right? Not Oregon.
Washington, Oregon, whatever.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, the left coast is just one big communist state.
So.
Yeah. Close enough. Might as well be.
So... Yeah,
I don't know, Paz. There's like,
no,
you know what
that
it is?
Changes the calculus.
I have a palette full of colors right now, and uh-huh. I don't know how to paint a picture with them because I don't have a brush. I don't know. Why aren't these all just disparate incidents?
Let me start the. Let me start this up.
Yeah, boil that water.
You have a federal group, whether it's the CIA or not, looking to start to set up these operations as a last resort way of generating fear in an unruly populace.
Mm-hmm.
But what they did not anticipate is the grassroots, I'll offer out maybe right wing or nationalist or religious even groups that are, you know, blood and soil types and typically very culturally conservative. They would not like these activities. And they underestimated that just as in 2016, there was a miscalculation of the power of the right wing kind of nationalist movement.
Mm-hmm.
They have miscalculated exactly how difficult it is to set these up without notice, particularly by some of these groups. And they have miscalculated the fervor amongst these groups and willingness to defend lethally. Is that, I mean,
that's far more than I had cooking in my head.
Mm-hmm. Is that brings us to a massive crossroads where we have two possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Where the CIA is psyoping this. It's a small-scale operation, and they're doing it for the purposes of national security theater.
Sure.
To keep us afraid and involved in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Or the less likely but still viable possibility that it's very real, that these people finally got sick enough of us fucking around in their homelands and did find a way to get people here, and they're trying to cover that up.
So, when you say they're trying to cover that up, you mean the CIA or whomever on...
Whatever federales.
Federales are trying to cover it up because they're going to look incompetent?
Yeah, either they're incompetent or it's their operation.
Right, right.
And that's the Sophie's choice of any conspiracy theorist,
right? It really is, yeah. But it always boils down to, you know, the intent. God, man.
I don't know. This one made my head hurt. This one made my head hurt.
Do you... So, here's a question I'll pose, because I think that... these militia groups, let's take Oath Keepers or Three Percenters or what have you, I think by and large, our ilk are very sympathetic with them. And probably I wouldn't be shocked if some of our ilk were in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use militia.
Well, I'll throw this out here just first of all, you know, I'm very open about the fact that my intellectual and philosophical heritage is right wing.
Yeah.
And not so much anymore, but there was a time when I was very sympathetic with them.
Yeah, yeah. I particularly the Oath Keepers, it's very difficult. I mean, Three Percenters,
those guys are absolute clowns.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, those guys, we have a lot of them down. You see, and I'm sure you do too up there, Paz, but you see a lot of like Three Percenter stickers. People have Three Percenter jackets and bars and shit like that all the time. And it's the same old fucking song and dance. Sure as shit, you're going to see a blue cop flag like right the fuck next to that Three Percenter sticker.
And
like,
a Punisher skull. Don't forget that.
Yeah. And it's like, yo, you guys need to stop and just think for a goddamn second. It's very, very frustrating. But the Oath Keepers, by and large, I have not seen a whole lot to make me dislike them. And not only that, but they're the type of people that I feel like I could sit down with a glass of scotch and have a great conversation with. Whereas the Three Percenters, just, it seems like it would be bashing my head against the wall.
Well, I'll say this. The Oath Keepers are a lot more clear-eyed with their intent and their own personal ideals, and that does make it easier. You know, there's a lot less dissonance.
They feel, and you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong here, but they feel like they have a real John Birch root system.
Absolutely.
And I've always been a little bit sympathetic to Birchers.
Well, look, I would be super in favor of them, and their headquarters is actually here in Wisconsin, about an hour and a half from me.
Oh, really?
My only beef with them is that they have a whole lot of the Jew hate stuff going on.
They do.
And that just always feels super cringy.
Yeah.
I know.
That's where I was going with it before.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, if it weren't for that, might be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the frustrating thing about a lot of right wing grassroots stuff like that is that it's always comes back to that shit. And you're like, I get it to some degree. You know, I hate Jews as much as anyone, honestly. But
That one just clicked.
I couldn't continue.
They're gonna, dude, they are gonna take that statement and the several seconds of silence it took for us to hear it, and they're gonna ruin you.
That right there, that was the moment the Fagcast died.
Yeah, well, I'll be, my career is fine.
No. Yeah. Bert will go on to have a very illustrious career. I'll be rotting in prison.
A very illustrious career trading diamonds in Zaire.
Yeah, right. No, it's frustrating. It's really frustrating because it always comes back to that. And it's like, to some degree, like, you know, Jews occupy a lot of like the high up banking stuff and like, and I
hey, did you get your Elders of Zion Weekly?
Yeah, I don't even know if I get that joke. What is that?
Protocols of Elder Zion. Henry Ford railing against the Jewish banks.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, I think Dave Smith says something like, you know, whatever, however many of the past Fed chairs, like they're all Jewish. And I mean, you know,
Well,
it's just frustrating because it's the same shit with like Stefan Molyneux with like identitarian. It's like, you can't do anything with it. You can't do anything with it. Like what, like, where do you go? It's just dumb. I don't know. At any rate, I do like the anti-war sentiments of the John Birchers and
the UN hate. Wonderful.
Yep. In a world where, unfortunately, we're not having the battle that we want to have, which would be nationalism versus states' rights or states' rights versus individual autonomy or, you know, something lower level where it is still very much nationalism versus globalism. You know, to that degree, I guess, you know, we can see eye to eye.
Mm-hmm. Well, that gets off into the whole jerk off fight about just what incrementalist steps are appropriate.
Right. Yeah.
And I, for one, I know I've said this before on Twitter, and I'm pretty vocal about it as being my position. I'm all in favor of incrementalism as long as those steps being taken are actually towards the correct goal.
Yeah.
And for that purpose, I think the whole nationalism, globalism shit fight is not serving anyone, no matter which side would win, because neither of them are working in the correct direction.
Okay. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. Man. But there is a shocking amount of that, you know, I'll say right-wing nationalism, militia-ish stuff in between the coasts that I think a lot of people just aren't aware of.
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, even down here in Texas, like, especially when you get out of Dallas, like Dallas and Austin, like if you just, not, you don't even have to go that far. Just go out of a town outside of them. I mean, it's Texas first. That always, and Texas secession comes up as a talking point in bars not infrequently.
Well, what's that line from Friday Night Lights? Under the stars, Texas forever or some shit?
Yeah, dude. People love Texas, and you know, the U.S. is second a lot of the time, and that's a pretty interesting thing. Although I guess you could say the same about New York to some degree, huh, Bird?
Man, it's more like it just is this way.
Yeah.
it was just, we're here now, you know? Yeah. We didn't plan it. You know, we don't have oaths. We don't have those up here. Well, pause. Every time you come on here, one of three things will happen, and usually all three happen. I'm psyched. I'm confused. And I'm terrified.
Yeah.
And I certainly feel all three of those today.
Before we start winding this down, what is the scarlet thread that you are toying with?
Like I was saying, that's actually a line or a phraseology that I boosted from Peter Lavenda. Mm-hmm. He's just a conspiracy writer that I absolutely adore.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he sucks a lot of blue team schlong
for
no reason that I can understand. Mm-hmm. But so he coined that. He uses it in his trilogy, Sinister Forces. I highly recommend the first one, in that series to anybody who's looking for conspiracy literature. It's called Sinister Forces, The Nine.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I plugged it last time I was on with you guys too, but seriously, read it. If you're into conspiracy shit, it's fantastic.
Right.
The second one, not so much, but, he in turn, Lavenda boosted that from the very first, Sherlock Holmes story, A Study in Scarlet.
Huh. So what it, so.
So it's kind of a turn of phrase.
No. I'm asking, what do you think?
What is my scarlet thread here?
Yeah.
Okay. I suppose that if I had to get to the root of what I think about it at this very moment, and with the caveat that I can change as new information is unveiled, of course.
Absolutely.
Is I do believe that this is some kind of national security theater game.
Yeah.
That it's somebody's weird attempt at a psyop gone wrong.
Okay,
and that's
so
not to say
of-
that I think these are actors or anything. I think that they found people sufficiently unstable to pawn them into this shit.
Yeah.
Because we know for a fact that they have been doing that exact thing since at least 1958.
What exact thing? Just finding
recruiting unstable individuals.
Yeah.
Finding ways to damage them further and then manipulating their behavior to create whatever situation they want to create so that they can do something in response to it.
Are you specifically referring to MKUltra?
I am referring to MKUltra, its predecessors, and the programs that came after it in its spirit. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild, you know. You always come back to like it's wild. Like MKUltra is wild, but it's real.
And yeah, it is
literally
happened. Super
it
real.
Cannot be disputed.
It's so real.
Too real.
Yeah.
I mean, this sort of thing doesn't seem out of at all out of reach for something that they would do and could do.
I mean, what did Bird say earlier? The pos maxim. Why would you ever assume the less malicious option?
Yeah, right. It's the opposite of Occam's razor. It's
yeah. You always need to assume the most complex malicious thing.
Yes. Possible. I like that.
Oh man. Yeah.
Well, pos, you got your big name on the internet, my dude. Give us the plugs.
Well, you know, I wish I were a big name on the internet. I'm getting there. I'm still lagging you both in followers.
But we're getting passed up, though.
You can find me on Twitter at DogmanRespector.
Yes.
It's, God, I love that handle. Yeah. I'm sad that I ever had to change it in the first place, but I think I picked a real winner in the replacement. So,
yeah.
That's my Twitter. That's where I'm most active. Find me there. You can absolutely find me there. Like I said, if you want to support my work and get me out into the field, there's a PayPal link there. I'm thinking about posting my Bitcoin wallet address, but who knows? Listen to the Gaslight Hour. I don't know if it survived editing, but I had an extremely spicy take on the last episode.
Oh,
that's your teaser.
Yeah. Giddy up.
Well,
giddy up. Yeah, I'll vouch for the Gaslight Hour. Like I was saying earlier, pause.
Oh yeah, that's most certainly it is a top tier podcast people need to listen to. It's weird, it's fun, everyone's having a good time, and it teaches me a lot of creepy shit. And I like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I will say this for anyone who so generously follows your plug and goes to check it out. I'm sorry we don't release more episodes or release faster. All of our schedules are a little bit hectic. Mine's hectic, and I still manage to be the most calm and available one of them, so it says something about how hard it is to get us together. But
I want to do a quick plug. I'm still working through the Scott Horton episode, so anybody that wants to help me nice. Take notes on old archives, just hit me up at carcamp@gmail.com. And other than that, Bird, are we putting two hands on the wheel?
We absolutely are putting two hands on the wheel. And quah!